Welcome to the Human Tapestry Podcast, the podcast where we explore the rich tapestry of humanity through conversations about gender, sexuality, relationships, and sexual practices. This week, we're going back in time to 2016 and the first interview I recorded for the Intersections Project, which was the predecessor to the Human Tapestry Podcast. So in this interview, I talked to Peter, who's a gay, demisexual man who's in a closed-loop relationship with his wife and his boyfriend. This being the first time I ever did something like this, I wasn't sure what to expect, but it ended up being a great conversation. We covered things like discovering our own sexuality, how living your true identity can literally save your life, finding support, and a host of other topics. Now, Peter and I met through a group called HOW, which stands for Husbands Out to Wives. HOW is an international online support group for gay and bisexual men who are married to women and are out or working towards coming out to our wives. Peter and I, along with hundreds of other men, found help and support as we redefined our relationships with our spouses, family members, friends, colleagues, all while we learned to understand our true selves. If you are or you know a person who needs this kind of support, you can find out more and join at how-support.org. Now, let's get to the conversation. Welcome to the first ever Intersections interview. Happy St. Patrick's Day. That's when we're recording it. I'm here talking to Peter. And hello, Peter.
Hi.
And so thank you again for being my guinea pig on this and helping with learning how to put this together and being a part of this. And so we'll just jump right into the questions. You applied online, you filled out the questionnaire. And on that, you identified as gay, queer, and demisexual. So what do those mean to you?
I currently identify as gay because I believe that I am sexually and romantically attracted to men, and I identify as male. And I really think of that as my identity. But I also identify as queer because I think that it's important for me to see myself as part of a larger community that I think queer fits with better. And intellectually, I sort of wish to be queer in my life. And what was my last identification?
Demisexual?
Oh, yeah. So I have and continue to have sexual encounters with a woman and a man. And while I identify as gay, I have a strong emotional connection to a woman that I have been with for many years. And so I think that while I'm currently like thinking of myself as gay, I think in my actual life practices, I am sexually involved with someone that I am emotionally connected to. And so that's how I see a demisexual. That's one way perhaps of describing that I enjoy being with someone sexually who I have already formed a strong attachment to, independent of my primary sexual identity. Okay. So I think demisexual sort of fits with that.
Right.
For me.
I've heard some people use the term gay plus one woman. Is that?
Yes. So maybe that is the most accurate description for me right now, except I don't know, for many years of my life, I really identified as straight.
Okay.
And, I would, be aroused by heterosexual pornography. It's I think there's a kind of experience that some men have when they come out to themselves in the world as being attracted to men when they didn't realize that or were hiding it or not comfortable with that. And so many different versions of that, but that they kind of overcompensate with a very strong gay identity as exclusively gay. And so I have already come to doubt my own current self-identification, as could I really be gay in, or gay plus one, given all those years of thinking I was straight. Wouldn't I have known? I mean, how could I not have? I don't know. So yeah. It's sort of like my self-doubting that I don't really think of myself that way, even though that's literally what I appear to be to myself and to others.
Okay. Now, romantically, you said you're, again, gay, demi-romantic, and polyamorous. So what does
I think that I have, in recent years, felt very strong romantic attractions to men. Given that I'm a male, I think that fits with gay. But again, I have been married for decades to a woman that I am committed to forever, as far as I can tell. Yet I also am now committed to a man. So that sounds to me like I could be romantically committed to anyone independent of their presentation of a gendered identity, even though I think if some horrible circumstance led to me not being in a relationship with the woman I'm in a relationship with now, right now I don't imagine seeking a woman. It seems like I'm mostly or some percentage gay, you know. So then, given my lifestyle where I am in a relationship with a man and a woman, I think some people would label that polyamorous.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, definitely.
I would then say I would have to call myself polyamorous because.
Okay.
I apparently.
You're currently in love with more than one person.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now you do identify for gender. You identify as male. So what does being male mean to you?
I have never questioned the gender I was assigned at birth. Mm-hmm. I have a penis and testicles and I like to use it. I can hardly remember any time where I might have imagined wishing that I was not a man or male. I've always been comfortable as a male. If I was ever accused of having any feminine qualities by bullies in junior high or high school, I just thought of them as just mean, crazy people who had their own issues. It never led me to question my own gendered identity. I don't remember ever wishing to cross-dress and present myself in a gender queer way. Yeah, so this to me is a consistent sense of being male.
Okay.
Yeah. I've always I always looked forward to growing a beard when I could when I was younger. And I, well, to this day, I struggle to have a full beard. I have never consistently shaved in my life. I like the hair that seems, that's another masculine quality, I think.
Right. Okay. Now you kind of talked about, you have your relationships right now, and you said you're in a closed loop relationship and an open sexual relationship. So can you kind of explain what that is?
Well, I'm married to a woman who has supported me in exploring my sexual questioning and apparent strong desire to have sex with men. And so I have pursued that with multiple partners over some years. But for almost a year with some on and off breakups, I have been in an exclusive gay relationship with one man. So I only have sexual encounters with a woman and a man. So I'm married to a woman and I'm also a partner with a man. And as far as I know, that would be a sort of fit with a definition of a closed loop relationship. Right. This man also has no interest in sex with anybody else. And the woman has no interest in sex with anybody else.
Okay. So it's a closed loop.
Yes.
Okay. Now you did say, and I thought that was kind of interesting, you said ideally you'd be monogamous, but you're currently in that closed loop relationship. Can you kind of
Yeah, this is something that I wouldn't say I enjoy discussing it, but I think it's an important part of my current life experience that I believe most people in our communities, our North American cultures, expect monogamy. And they believe that that's an important part of a relationship. And I think that I've always felt that it was important as well, and that it should be something that would not be a problem. But I am not monogamous. So I judge myself harshly and negatively on this characteristic of my current situation. Mm. I would like to be monogamous with someone and fully present for one person. And I feel like it's unequal with the two people that I am in a relationship with now.
Hmm.
You know, it's not a threesome. The two relationships are entirely separate. And although they have met each other, and we can talk about that, but I am not happy with myself doing this. I feel torn. I feel like there are times when I am not in a full relationship with either person. I feel like they feel it as well. I feel like it's unfair to them. I feel like it's unfair to me. I have a lot of anxiety and stress balancing parts of my life. So ideally, I would be in a monogamous relationship, but I am currently in a closed loop relationship.
That makes sense. Okay, now, obviously you didn't come out and know this all these different identities about yourself when you were born.
No.
So just kind of tell me a little bit about the journey you took to getting to understand your identities as you have them now. And it sounds like the journey's continuing from the way some of this.
Yeah. Most of my life, I thought of myself as straight. And interested in women, you know, girls. And I think I lived in a pretty open and progressive collection of communities that would have made it easy for me to identify as gay or bisexual or whatever, but I never did. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot in the last 4 to 5 years or whatever, you know, that I don't know. It just says something about our society, I think, more than me, that I did not have any opportunities to be able to consider myself in this way. And I don't know why that is. You know, many people would say, I knew my entire life that I was gay. You know, I knew when I was 5, when I was 4, when I was 10, when I was 12. I think I had some opportunities to try on the identity, and I would say, no, I'm straight. But I can look back at that history now and see it a little differently. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of complicated for me, but I was in a relationship with this woman that I met the summer between my junior and senior year of college. We seemed very quickly drawn to each other, and we got together pretty quickly. And you know, by 3 or 4 years later, we were married, and very happily so, I would think. You know, after some years, we started to like have an imbalance in our interest in sex. We've always had a very active sex life, but I was very unsatisfied. I was not satisfied. My wife's perspective on this was that I was a sex addict. Like, why would I want so much sex? And so both of us defined it partly that I had an extremely high interest in sex. Mm-hmm. Also that there are natural differences between men and women, perhaps. You know, that men want sex more than women. And then there were, you know, eventually we had 2 children. And so like being pregnant, bearing children, nursing, young children, working and having children are all sorts of reasons why there might be an ebb and flow of interest in sex. But I have to say, not all married people average pretty close to every other day having some kind of sexual encounter, which I would say went on for like 30 something years. Okay. So that's pretty active, but it was never enough for me. And I always had these kinds of fantasies of certain kind of weekends or multiple orgasms or trying things that she was not interested in. So it always seemed like, well, I'm maybe more adventurous than her, or I don't know. You know, you can't, I have to adapt to her level because we're married. But at one point, my wife thought it was a good idea for me to pursue counseling or psychotherapy, partly because of this seeming sex addiction that she was just really tired of dealing with. So that was a good justification for the cost of the therapy. And I went to this guy for like 2 years where most weeks there was some part of it devoted to this issue. In the beginning, I told him that this was a major motivation, that I had this sex addiction. But he asked me questions about my fantasies and approach to sex, and he dismissed addiction right away. He just felt like I had a very high interest in sex. That was different from my wife's. But we would have these conversations where I would describe sexual experiences or fantasies and so on. And, you know, and then he would, after by complaining about unsatisfied sex, you know, being unsatisfied with the sex in my life, he would say things, he would just basically say, and why is that unsatisfying for you? Why is that not satisfying? Why are you dissatisfied? What do you wish would happen? You know, and this would go on week after week after week after week. And literally, like one day, I got in the car after the session. And, you know, I had like thought about and sort of tentatively looked online at like Craigslist or whatever to like, oh, are there women I could try to have sex with that would want it as much as me? But I never pursued this because I was a monogamous and very good husband, you know, and I didn't think that that was something I would do. But one day I got in the car and I thought, I bet men would be easier to find than women. They might be convenient. And it was like I had to find it. It was like an uncontrollable urge that I had to act on this thought. You know, and so I went onto Craigslist. It took me 2 weeks to finally, like a lot of time for 2 weeks before I finally successfully met with a person face to face, like in a real place, and had an encounter. It was not a good one, but like it made me like instantly need to have another one and try more and try more. And this was just a release, an explosion, where I spent some months uncontrollably, nonstop, pursuing sexual encounters with men to find out, well, is this what I really want and need? Why am I doing this? What do I like? I had like so many things you could try. So many things I had to try. Yeah. And I would go to my therapist and say, I'm doing this. I can't believe it. What's going on? Am I gay? Am I bisexual? Like, am I like subconsciously trying to sabotage my marriage? You know, what am I doing here? You know, I'm doing things that are really risky that for years I have always been a trained ally on campuses. So I could tell people how to find out about safe sex practices, what kinds of things would be good choices for where to get a condom and how to use it. You know, what's riskier, less risky, you know, and this had no effect on my behaviors whatsoever. So I was thinking, oh my God, and I'm still having sex with my wife, and what am I giving her? And I have to tell my wife, our marriage is over. It has to be over because I'm doing this. I'm cheating on her. Oh, it was the end of the world, you know. And my therapist would say the only problem he saw was that I saw a problem with my marriage, with my behavior. But otherwise, other than the risky behaviors, which I shouldn't be doing, what was the problem with me exploring my sexuality, given that I seemed happier and better able to cope with all the other parts of my life. But I was spending like nonstop day and night exploring this. And that was a period of some months, you know. But you were asking me about my history. You know, eventually I did slow down. I got tested. I came out to my wife. I was surprised that our marriage didn't end, you know, and there's more story to tell that way. But going back, I can identify things that I did that clearly indicated interest in men. I just didn't understand them as such at the time, which I think, again, just sort of points to the complete lack of available sex education and, you know, like kind of ways for young people to explore themselves, you know, in our society, you know, which I think is a real problem. I actually now teach a course at a university about gender and sexuality education, you know, because of my concerns about that. But, you know, like I'd be in locker rooms, you know, associated with gym class in high school, and I was much smaller than most kids my age and not very good at sports compared to them. They would like beat me up, throw me against lockers, smash my head against the locker and say, "What's the matter, fag? Do you want to look at my cock or something?" You know, and I would react by saying, "Well, maybe I'll try it. You think I'm gay? You think I'm a fag? How would I know? I'll look." Yeah. And I would think, "No, I'm not getting an erection there. So I guess I'm not gay." But I would look. Yeah. I don't know if all kids do. Yeah, so I wonder about that now. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I can tell other kinds of stories like that. You know.
Yeah, just those hints that looking back, you're like, that makes sense, and given what I know about myself now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I know the feeling.
I mean, I didn't look unless I was provoked to look.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have an uncontrollable need to look. You know, but if I was given the opportunity, I would. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so and I would look to set to test myself, you know. Yeah, like was I don't know. But the thing is, like, people don't like I still wouldn't necessarily get an erection looking at someone's penis. You know, there's gotta be like an interaction that's associated with arousal and so on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Now, you did tell me in the questionnaire, you've been married. You've talked a lot about your wife. You've been married for 33 years now, and you have been together for 37.
That sounds right.
Okay. That's what you told me. So, and you've been partnered with the man currently for 6 months, and you've been together for a year.
Right.
And you talked about that there's, you know, the two separate relationships. There's no real interaction between the two. So in your daily life, how does that play out for you?
I spend two nights a week with my boyfriend.
Okay.
And they're nights that are around days off that he has from work. He works 12-hour shifts at a hospital 4 days a week. So he has 3 days off from work. So, like, for example, he has Monday and Tuesday off from work, and I spend Monday night with him. So we spend part of Monday night and part of Tuesday together. Okay. I may work. I do some work during, like, I have a very flexible work schedule, so I can do my work, say, like, in this apartment where I am, in his apartment, you know, while he's taking care of day off things he needs to do and errands. But we're kind of together for 2 days, Monday through Tuesday. Today's Thursday, and so he's coming home from work soon. You know, he gets off at 7, gets home by 8. We're having an interview before he gets home. And so we'll have dinner and spend the night together. And then tomorrow's another day off for him. So we'll spend part of tomorrow together, although I'll also maybe do some things I need to do. But it's like we're living like our life together tomorrow. Even, you know, if I'm working for part of the day or if he's doing some work for part of the day. You know, but we have two nights a week and 3 days, you know, 3.5 days together.
Okay.
You know, every week. My wife, you know, really thinks it's really important on the weekends to be together. And our family has always had family time Friday night through Monday morning, basically. Well, we still have that. My children are grown and out of the house, but the weekends are important to her. And my boyfriend works on Saturday and Sunday. So it's a miracle. It's a perfect combination. You know, And she works on weekdays during the day. So if I'm with my boyfriend a part of Monday, Tuesday, or Friday during the day, that's not an issue for her because she's working. You know.
Right.
Oh. So in a way, it kind of works, although there's ongoing tensions. I'm recently my boyfriend had to spend a lot of his days off filling in at the hospital for other people. You know, he asked me, is there any way we could have an extra night or day together soon because he misses me? Yeah. And then this is still kind of, we're working the kinks out. Turned to my wife, is like, is there's like some way I'm get this text from him? Is there some way that, you know, it would be okay if I spend an extra night? Like, she's like, well, when would that be? You know, like, we're not like bargaining about me. Am I like a treasure that the two of them fight over? No. But bringing up again my concerns that I'm not available when they need me. You know?
Right.
But right now I have a lot of free time given my work. Next fall, my university job is going to demand more presence on campus. I don't know how things will play out. My boyfriend's also looking for a new job. He may not be working on weekends anymore. He may have other days. So this could present very difficult problems. But right now, I have this schedule where I go back and forth. Now, I have a dog that's my primary responsibility. So I travel to my boyfriend with the dog. And so we have a blended family of three dogs and two cats when I'm in his apartment. Recently, we've been experimenting with me leaving the dog with my wife. It's the dog is my responsibility, and that was part of the getting the dog 5 years ago before any of this started happening, you know. But, you know, she kind of misses the dog in the bed when I'm away anyway. So as long as, like, I can find a way for someone else to take the dog out in the morning when on that next day I come home and take the dog out later, this is now part of the working out the way our life works. And there are some other issues. Like, for a long time, neither of them had met the other person. They didn't really have an interest or need to. At one point, my wife thought it might be a good idea to meet my boyfriend because she thought he sounded like a really interesting person. She just thought it would be nice to meet him. That raised for him the reality of my marriage, and he had been sort of pretending that she was kind of like an ex-wife, and that led to a breakup because he just couldn't cope with the actual idea of meeting her. He first agreed to meet her, and then he kind of had a meltdown, and we broke up for 2 months. We got back together again, and at one point I was playing music at a restaurant. Both of them wanted to hear my group, so they went together and they met over dinner while I was playing music in the same room. And now they've met each other. They both kind of like, it kind of lessened the stress, actually. And yeah.
Interesting. So you serenaded them while they had dinner.
Yeah, you could say that. I was a member of a music group, you know, while they were talking. I don't know.
That's neat. Okay. The last little part of this, I just kind of want to talk about how your sexuality, your gender, your relationship orientation, how those affect you in different areas of your life. So it's just kind of a list of those kind of questions. So number one, have your sexuality, your gender, your relationship orientation, how have they affected you socially?
Well, when I finally understood myself as gay or bisexual or something of that sort, I just felt like a lot of things were really right. And it really took away a lot of stress that I had in my life about my discomfort around social interactions. I just felt like, you know, this has been the problem. Like, I've always been kind of awkward socially, maybe. I mean, I had friends. I don't have like weird encounters with people, really, but I would just not be comfortable in a lot of social situations. I suddenly felt like that had been completely removed. And I just felt like there was a whole level of sort of personal well-being that I had never known before that just came from this understanding of myself. It was phenomenal high. Like I lost 35 pounds in like 6 months or a year, you know, for no reason at all, just because of like, of saying, I think I'm gay. Like, my doctor was like, whoa, you've put yourself in a whole new place. Like, what is going on with you? You are a healthy person now. It was astonishing. And so I just feel good. And plus, I have a really easy time making friendships with gay men and bisexual men, it seems. Whereas I used to feel really awkward around men in general, like not really, I don't know why, but I don't know why now anything's different. But now like, and if someone doesn't seem like naturally like ready to be interested in me socially, I'm like, well, what's their problem? Whereas I used to see it was a reflection of something wrong with me. And so like, I think there's a big change in my just sense of myself. I'm very happy with myself. I used to think of myself as a pretty unattractive person, and I don't know if I'm attractive now, like to men or women, but I feel pretty good physically in general. So my attitude would be, you know, Mike, if you're not like attracted to me, well, I guess you're attracted to another type. I don't know what's wrong with you because you're missing out. You know, that's the way I would be now. And there's certainly plenty of people that like, would contact me by looking at my picture on a website and saying, hey, handsome, are you available? So like, I don't know, you know, and I go to these aqua size classes that are filled with women at the gym, you know, and they're all looking at me like I'm a pretty hot guy. I wear my Speedo and I'm one of like three guys in a sea of 20 something women. And like, I think some of them think, you know, my wife is pretty lucky. But it's pretty funny though, like, because like, you know, like they'll talk to me and they look at me and they look at my behavior and they'll say things like, your wife doesn't have any worries with you. You're not looking at any of us women. And they're right. She has no worries with me. I'm not looking at any of those women.
All right.
But I'm happy to be cuddling and touching with my wife at home. So they're right. She has nothing to worry about. But they like. But I'm walking through like the public sphere, like, and like men are like, I'm looking at them a lot still. Yeah, you know, my boyfriend is like, you know, are you looking at them? You know, that's pretty funny, Peter. So,
yeah.
I don't know. So professionally, I am in an academic field where there are a lot of gay and lesbian and queer and gender ambiguous people. I think if I had come out as gay or queer or bisexual decades ago, it would have been very helpful to my career. And these people would have mentored me because they would have thought I needed help. Right. And I didn't have that. So it's like, it's too bad, like in a way. But it also explains something about my choice of subfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of funny. I don't know. Yeah, not everybody, but this is like an overabundance of people that are queer in some one way or another. You know, and many of them still like don't I go to special interest groups at conferences and everything, but I always have, and they didn't know why I was there before. Again, like, why was I there? I don't think you have to be gay or queer, you know, to be committed to, you know, social justice that's related to gender and sexuality. You know, I mean, for me, it was part of our culture. When I was a graduate student, I was not going to pass up the opportunity to read critical feminist studies, you know, to be like looking at theories of gender. I mean, that was the hot topic in the late 80s, you know, early 90s. So I was going to do that because that was the trendiest thing possible. Yeah. But it didn't help me think about myself then, you know, but now like people are starting to say, wait a minute, like, have you always been gay? You know, like little things come out maybe at a conference, you know? And like, I'm like, At first, I was not making a point of doing anything because, you know, my wife and I were working out how public we were about this. It's still a question. I don't know how public I'm comfortable with, but I'm not going to hide anything. And, and I think it needs to be public that there are many people in my situation.
Right. Since you brought it up, you said professionally, has that been any other effect on you professionally as far as all that goes?
Well, no, I don't really. The only thing I could say is I came out to a professional friend, a very good friend professionally, who teaches at a different university, her first response was to be like really supportive and to help me think about what I was telling her. But her second response was, well, you better be like writing and teaching on this because this is what's taking over your life right now. And I had put aside it stuff that was directly earlier in my career, I had been affiliated with a women's and gender studies department. And I taught a course about like gender and science and technology and stuff. I hadn't been doing that for years, but it got me thinking about this theme that I mentioned earlier, that the kind of informal and formal forms of education about gender and sexuality and relationships that people have that are associated with that is basically non-existent most places in the world. And so I decided I wanted to create a course around that. Mm. Yeah. And so I did that last spring, a year ago. I piloted that course and I'm planning to do it again, in the next semester as well, as a regular course at my university about rethinking gender and sexuality education. And it has a global perspective on that as well. So transcultural, transnational, cross-cultural perspective on how people learn about themselves and others as gendered and sexual beings in and out of schools and families and in popular culture and other places.
Right. It sounds very...
So professionally, that's a kind of new thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Or return. I mean, I knew where to go to find all the literature that was more current that I had been reading because I was very well versed in stuff. In gender and sexuality studies. I had actually, in graduate school in the early 90s, I had spent a year at an Institute for the Humanities on the theme of histories of sexuality. Yeah, I was kind of returning to that. I knew where to start with something.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. That sounds like a great course. I wish I could come take it.
It's the thing about that course, the first time I taught it, there were all these undergraduates that registered for it as a kind of action. Like they were there was this trans group on campus. And when they heard about this, they're like, we got to find whoever in our group can register for that to make sure that this course is as contemporary as it should be and as sensitive to trans issues as it can be, And there were these students that joined so that they could make sure that the conversations included BDSM cultures and so on. Mm. And like the first night when I'm asking people to share pronouns and so on, and there are these students that were like, yes, okay, well, tonight I prefer she but I'll let you know because sometimes I prefer he and him and it depends on the minute or the hour. And just so they were doing that just to see how other students would react, like right from the first 5 minutes of class. Wow. So it was a very exciting class taken over by students.
That's very cool.
But I can't say I know anything that would help me consult about, say, a curriculum on gender and sexuality, but I can share lots of questions that people should ask about how people are sort of exposed to possibilities, confronted by assumptions and questions and that sort of thing.
Hmm. Very, very cool. How about legally? You ever had any effect legally from you?
No, but this has become a new concern. Like, I'm a tenured professor, but can students complain that I'm immoral because they find out that I'm married to a woman but partnered with a man? And other, you know, like I brought this up in a group therapy. I got these support groups, group therapy. I'll take advantage of anything because for years I couldn't find anything to help me think through my life. And I thought I was the only person in the world. I didn't know that actually most people are probably going through this. That's my view now. But anyway, you know, like I brought this up at a group therapy meeting and they said, this is like, aren't like most people like cheating on their spouse or having affairs? I'm like, do they? Because I would never do that. Never in my life would I have imagined myself doing this, you know, of any, in any way, you know? And they're like, well, why should anybody be concerned about your private life? I'm like, well, what if they just want to get at me and get and remove me because they're mad at me about like some program or something, some political thing? Like, can they start a petition saying I'm immoral? And like they all know, like I tell everybody, I participated in a coming out panel where I told my story in a course on coming out that's taught by colleagues. And some students followed up by interviewing me for projects for their course. Like then they're presenting this at a public exhibit about their course. Yeah. You know, and like, will my colleagues try to use this against me if they want to find something to use against me? And then I come back to, they can probably find something more easily usable, right? Like they probably don't have to start like saying this guy is immoral because of his closed loop relationship. I mean, it probably would be easier to come up with another excuse. Like, we don't need someone with your expertise anymore because we eliminated all the programs you teach in or something, right? I mean,
right.
But I don't know. I worry about things like I'm starting this relationship with my boyfriend and we're pretty committed. What if something happens to him, but I have no legal status? You know, it used to be like, yeah, it's still the case. Like if, you know, like that, like gay partners, you know, would not be able to have any way of helping their partner if they were in the hospital. So, and we're currently in that situation, you know, where it wouldn't be me that anyone would call or know or think about. I would have no legal opportunity to help him, you know. Right. Would there be some, I don't know what the, you know, what, I don't know, I haven't worked anything with my wife. What if my wife and he disagree on something if I have an accident? Well, I guess she has a legal authority because we're married.
Right.
So I think there are potential legal. Oh, and then I live in a state where marriage is legal, but you can be discriminated against for your sexual orientation. Right, for any reason, right? That's still the case in my state. So, you know, in general, I live in a urban environment that's fairly gay friendly with a pretty active gay community and so on. And, you know, nice LGBTQ center in the center of the city and so on. But the state is one where outside of my small like urban region, people could do whatever they want to be legally because they've seen me holding hands with this man or whatever.
Right. It's interesting. How about medically? I know you talked a little bit about how your health improved. Yeah. And with the activities and stuff that you were doing before, but yeah, have you had any effect on your medically?
Well, I mean, in general, overall, I am in a healthier situation because of coming out to myself and the world and putting myself in a life that I am like, I feel like I won the jackpot, you know, in my personal life. And it really has changed my perspective on how important my relationships at work are and my career and everything, you know. And like, you know, I've always had a good relationship with my children, but you know, I don't know. But I have been regularly going to be tested for HIV and other sexually transmitted infections and diseases every 3 months for quite some time now. I think I no longer maybe like the last time I went fairly recently, the counselor at the testing center suggested that after the next test, I probably could reduce the frequency, you know, for sure. I mean, like, because if I'm confident that I only have these two partners and like the tests cover, you know, like it could take 6 months or more for HIV to appear in a test, right? But given my dual monogamy, I can reduce that. But I've had medical, you know, concerns and worries in the back of my mind because I have done things that were not very risky, but, you know, could be putting me and my partners at risk. Like, and then in the periods where I broke up with my boyfriend, I would be looking for a replacement for him. You know, I would not wait past a date or two before having sex with someone. Mm-hmm. So I had other partners throughout this time I knew him, you know.
Right.
I was not super active, you know, but, and it wasn't very risky, but, and he's a doctor, so he's like hyper concerned about getting the tests, you know.
Sure.
He's that kind of doctor, at least. I had an experience where I had anal bleeding, and it freaked me out, you know, because it wouldn't stop. I went to an LGBTQ health center for this, and they let me in right away with anal bleeding because it could be serious. The doctor immediately could see that it was a very minor abrasion, so that was good. But she did say we really need to do a lot of more serious tests because, you know, this kind of bleeding could have led to who knows what kind of fluid exchange, you know. So that was kind of scary. Because that wasn't me as much as like my wife could have been exposed to this, etc. I did once some years ago test positive for chlamydia. It's a pretty minor infection, you know, like to have, right? You know, and it's treatable and pretty easily treatable, but other partners can get it, you know. So like, then you have to tell people. I just was tested positive for chlamydia. And like, you know, with a female partner, my wife was rather concerned. She went right away to be tested because, because there's some correlation between chlamydia and a higher possibility of cervical cancer, or so she had heard. Yeah. So that was kind of stressful, not just health-wise, but for our relationship.
Sure.
There was a time early on in my explorations where I had crabs. Yeah. Which, you know, had to be discussed with my wife.
Right.
Besides being excruciatingly itchy for a couple of weeks and needing to, like, use special shampoos and stuff.
Right.
Oh, recently, not that recently, but some months ago, I had, like, jock itch. And it was like, is it crabs again? Where could I have gotten this? And my boyfriend is like, where could you have gotten this? You know, like, who have you been with? You know, because we don't have sex with other people, right? You know, but it wasn't. It was like because of the way I walked barefoot at the gym after the shower in the pool. And then, I pretty much determined that I gave this to myself by dropping my underwear on the floor in this wet locker room, you know. So on and so forth, yeah. But these are kind of minor, but they feel like they could be more serious medical issues. I don't know if that's what you were looking for in this interview, right?
No, that's good. Yeah, no.
That, I think they were sharing with people that like I can laugh about it now because it's pretty minor, but they have these like undertones of could this be something major?
Right.
And even today, I finally got the 2 weeks later negative results on all of the tests from the most recent, like, sort of periodic 3 months of testing that I've been doing as a regimen. Yeah. Negative for the oral swab, the anal swab, and the urine for chlamydia, for syphilis, for gonorrhea, you know.
Yep.
But, as the woman was telling me, like the last time, this is probably the last time I really have to be tested. You know, maybe one more time,
right?
And then maybe I can do once a year as a because you never know about your partners. My monogamous partners could be suddenly dishonest. You know?
It's true. It's true. How about change a little bit spiritually? Has it had an effect on your spiritual life?
I don't really think so.
Okay.
I don't know. except I'm happier. So I think to some degree, and there's a way in which I have met in the years since coming out, especially before I was in the relationship with my boyfriend, I met a lot of men who had many different kinds of life experiences and different spiritual approaches to their life. And so this would become part of conversations and interactions. So that's been kind of an interesting thing, like really such a wide range of people that have become acquaintances, friends, very good friends that come from many different traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very and cool. I have a more eclectic understanding of spirituality, maybe even a greater acceptance of some forms of spirituality, because before I wasn't very spiritual, probably.
Okay. And finally, has it had an effect on your families? And by families, I mean whatever you define as your family.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I do worry consistently about what I have done to my main family with my wife and my two children. Mm-hmm. I mean, my two children were not very interested in my sexuality or anything about that. They were like, okay, thank you for telling me. Why are you telling me? Does it matter to me? And they're both grown and out of the house, so it's like my personal daily life has nothing to do with them. I have a daughter who lives outside the country who actually came home for a month recently. And so she did see that I spent two nights a week with my boyfriend. You know, I told her I was doing this. You know, I was like, I thought it would make it more real to her that do you remember I shared this with you? This is really what I'm going to tonight. Mm-hmm. To, you know? And she was like, oh, okay. Again, she was like, well, thank you for telling me. Like, it didn't really matter to her, right? So I don't know. Like, it didn't really, if like it didn't affect our, it doesn't affect our time together or the way we live, you know, as a family. I worry that is my wife really okay? Mm-hmm. Are we really communicating? Because if I fuck up this marriage, like that's going to be devastating to me that I have done that, because I don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do worry that I can't really have the life with my boyfriend that he wants. And will that really hurt him?
Right.
As I know more and more about the things that make him happy and unhappy, I do worry a lot about whether this is okay for him.
Yeah.
But he, you know, I go to a therapist. The therapist says, is he an adult? Has he said he likes this? Has he said... Did you not tell me he said he corrected a mistake when you got back together? Yeah. Do you really need to do any more thinking on that? And I do, because I condemn myself for being in two relationships that are not complete.
Right. Okay, but just finally, is there anything else? Other area?
I could tell you something. I have a sister who... was not, I would say she was not so comfortable with this news. And I only told her because I just got angry at her saying, what, you know, like things seem different. Why are things different? Why are things different? Why are things different? Months of this. And I would think, does she really need to know anything? Like, I don't have that close of a relationship with her, you know, and it's for some time, it was kind of like a private thing with my wife that I was exploring this. Finally, I just in an outburst was like, look, you want to know? I've been questioning my sexuality, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And she was like, what? You know, and lately she's had some issues where she wished I was a closer brother, and she started blaming this for that. You know, like, oh, ever since you started with your sexuality thing, you don't contact me as much. And I'm thinking, what? You know, how often did I contact you? You would call me and I would be glad to talk to you. I don't remember initiating a lot of contact anyway. I mean, I've always been glad to have a relationship with my sister. I love my sister. We do things with her and her children. You know, I love my niece and nephew, you know, but that has, you know, definitely has made her uncomfortable around me. Hmm. And she was like, soon you'll be telling me, introducing me to somebody. I'm like, do you want to meet him? She's like, oh, you know, so obviously she's not okay with this. You know?
Right.
I mean, she doesn't really, intellectually, she doesn't have a problem, but she's not okay with it, obviously.
Yeah.
She's like, why are you ruining your marriage? I've been miserable, divorced, and unable to find a partner of my own again. You know, why are you ruining your marriage? You have this good marriage. What's wrong with you? Yeah. Hmm. So you'd say my relationship with my sister has been affected by my situation.
Right. It's affected her, definitely, it sounds like.
I mean, I don't have living parents to come out to. I am not interested in sharing this with my mother and father-in-law, who are not very healthy themselves right now and don't need to know this. I mean,
it makes sense.
I don't know. It's not like, it's not going to change my relationship with them.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, or that's affected you, or just anything else you feel like you want to say?
Well, we had talked before the interview that we would say that we know each other through the Husbands Out to Wives online support group.
Yep.
And I would say that men need to find this group and contact that group. And I would also say that there are a number of support groups locally in a lot of places around the world. Sometimes they're called GAMMA, G-A-M-M-A. Which years ago stood for Gay Married Men or something, like Gay Married Men Association. But in places like Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Chicago, Manchester, England, Australia, many other places, there are these local groups that meet twice a month, three times a month, you know, pretty anonymous situations where they welcome people that are questioning things, wondering about things, have made decisions about things. They don't judge anybody, and they give you someone to talk to who has some common experiences with you. And I really wish people would know about these groups and not be afraid to go to them, because once you go, you're really glad you did. Also, on meetup.com, there's a group that I participate in called M5. The letter M followed by the number 5. It's not as threatening as GAMMA because it meets in completely innocuous, anonymous, mostly suburban, sometimes urban, like bars and restaurants where no one would question why you're walking in. No one would know who you are. They move around from month to month, and they allow people to connect and meet and talk, and then decide how much about themselves they want to share in a, maybe a more formal support group setting.
Right.
I think these groups are great. Really great. Definitely. I also early on found a website called shybyguys.com, mm-hmm. which has an online forum. And that was a little weird. You know, it's like, it seems to be people get on there when they're first questioning and then they get bored and leave. So there aren't a lot of people around that can really help you think about what's going on. But at first, I met a guy. I still sometimes call him on Viber or use WhatsApp to text. He lives in England. We still, at least once a month, if not every week, talk about what's going on in our lives. Years later, we met through that website, and it's helped me a lot. So these groups, I want people to know about.
Yeah. And I'll definitely, what I'll do is I'll put the links on this video on the bottom so people can click on them. And yeah, Husbands Out to Wives, that's actually for me. I know we got to meet Well, we met online through the group, then we got to meet in person, and you know, made a lot of really great friendships through that, of just gay and bisexual husbands that have told their wives who they are, and we go through life's journey together.
Another thing I've done, and I'm just going to keep this video going on forever.
That's fine.
No one's going to get to this end of this video, but several times I've posted on Craigslist an ad saying, I'm a married man who's interested in, you know, sex with men, but I would just be happy even just to meet for coffee or a walk or a beer with someone, even if you're not ready or wanting to have sex with me, because I need to talk with people. And I've made a few friends that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really worked. Like, you know, again, I can think of several people, you know, that I'm still regularly communicating with. We sometimes meet, we sometimes just text each other about what's going on in our lives. And the thing is, like, if you see an ad like that, a lot of people don't respond because they're either still afraid to even make that step. They're not ready to make that step, or they think, oh, what an idiot, who would want to meet him? You know, but if you do, like, he might be an okay guy. He might be someone like me. And I think we need to talk, because I don't have anyone to talk to about this stuff. And it's like really weird. And I don't know, like, you try to go online and say, I think I might be gay, but I'm married. And like, what do you do? And all I could find for like 2.5 years was, listen, teenager, you think you might be gay? Don't come out until you're sure. Come out the way you want to come out to your parents and friends. You know, do you want to come out as gay, as bi, as questioning? Do you want to wait? You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, I think I'll wait because I don't want my wife to know. I mean, like, no. You're in your 50s and like you're having sex with Ben. I think you need to tell your wife. You know, I don't know. Like, the advice isn't there. So, like, it's good to find someone, you know, go on Craigslist and post your own ad if you have to, you know, like, because, like, maybe they have heard about a group like Husbands Out to Wives. Right. And it's not just husbands who are already out to their wives. It's husbands who are thinking they're pretty sure they probably want to come out to their wife, right? Or they think maybe they should, you know. And so that group is still for them, too.
Absolutely. Yep. So okay. Definitely share those. Awesome. Anything else you want to share?
I think I've done it. Okay. Well, disconnect, and then I'll have like, oh, I wanted to tell that story about when I was in college.
We can add some more notes. All right. Well, thank you again for taking the time to do this. And just thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you for doing this, Pat.
Thanks for joining us today. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. You can listen or subscribe on the human-tapestry.com website, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or your favorite podcast place. Be sure to leave us a review too, and maybe share the podcast with a friend or 200. The Human Tapestry Podcast is all about starting a conversation, so get in touch with me. You can contact me at the website, human-tapestry.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Human Tapestry, or on Tumblr at Human Tapestry Podcast. We'll talk next week.